Coming to you from Cary, North Carolina, and Jackson, Michigan, it's the Get Options Podcast with your hosts Adam Silver and Kyle Maurer. This is the show where your WordPress questions are given some serious and not so serious options. And here they are.
Hello and welcome to episode 129 of the Function Get Options Podcast, the irreverent fun advice show about your life with WordPress. I'm Adam Silver with my friend, my compatriot, my buddy, Mr. Kyle Maurer. Say hi, Kyle.
Hi, Kyle. Hi, Adam. How are you doing, Dan?
Good. How are you?
I'm swell. Happy to be here with you and happy to have the band back together.
The band? Who's in the band?
We've got Dustin Hartzler on the show.
Dustin Hartzler.
Hello, hello.
Hey.
Thanks for having me, I guess I should say.
Welcome back. It's been a while. How long? How many episodes, Kyle? You know, usually know the numbers. Do you know?
I don't know.
No. Nice.
No, I don't.
You knew how many from Joe Howard, but you don't know how many from Dustin Hartzler. I see how it is.
Well, it's the first time I've been Skype in about, I think, 8 months, so it's been at least that long.
Okay.
Crap. That's wild.
That is.
Yeah, it's been a long. It's been too long since I saw Dustin's face and heard Dustin's voice. Actually, that's not true. I've been listening to Dustin's podcast, so I've heard his voice
yeah.
a lot.
I haven't seen Dustin in probably, 4 hours? we do a morning, a typical morning co-working. Just, you know, he's doing his live chat. I'm having breakfast.
That's really sweet.
He's awake yet, so he turns to me.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So what's going on in your part of town, Kyle?
In my part of town? Well, we've had an interesting weekend, actually. It's been kind of wild. A wild ride. Let me tell you all about it. Give you the deets. Give you the rundown, the lowdown, the whole scoop. Front to back, we had a ton of rain, for one, and our basement flooded a couple times, and that was not fun. The opposite of fun. Everything that fun is not. That's what it was. So tons of water down there. We had to do the whole bucket brigade thing. We don't have a sump pump. And I'm looking to install one and figure out how to do that, as I've never done it before. We've never had water like this in the basement, and we've been here for almost 2 years now. So this caught us totally off guard, but the water was ridiculous. Here in Michigan, we had so much that there's dams bursting in other parts of the state and towns being evacuated. It's been wild, and it's starting to rain again, and looks like it's going to rain for the rest of the week. So everybody's kind of dealing with whatever is happening right now. It's not April showers because this is mid-May. I don't know what it's. I don't know what's
like,
happening.
How much water did you actually have? Like 2, 3, 6, 10 inches? What did you have?
I don't know. I have a pretty big basement.
Right.
So it was throughout most of the basement. There was water. It went like under a couple walls into different rooms. Oof. And
any damage?
I mean, basement is kind of mostly where we store the crap that we don't have a use for. So any damage is really on some of the stuff that we're like, not that worried about, I guess, like some old cupboards and some art that we didn't want to hang in our house and stuff. Mostly it's just a pain in the butt. It took a ton of time and muscles to just like bucket literally hundreds of gallons of water.
Wow.
And dump it in our backyard.
Wow.
Seeing how little water in a basement, how big of a pain that is. Like, there was one weekend I was at my in-laws and their water line broke from the outside spigot. It broke and it ran for 15 minutes, maybe, or 10 minutes. I don't even remember, but there was water everywhere. And to get the shop down there,
right,
only looks like an inch, of, not even an inch of water, but over the entire square footage of a basement. Man, that's
very time consuming.
That's tough. Yeah. Cool.
Yeah.
Dustin,
we had a fun animal encounter on Saturday that I wanted to tell you guys about. It was the wildest thing.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
Yeah. On Saturday, we encountered a friendly squirrel, a young friendly squirrel.
Like, how friendly?
Like, as friendly as a squirrel can possibly get. Like, out of the blue in the afternoon, me and Abigail were in the backyard and it ran up to us and basically just like became our best friends. Abigail picked it up and it climbed all over her. And it was all kinds of friendly, and it climbed all over us, and it rode on my shoulder, and ate some snacks with us.
Isn't that dangerous, though, like from a rabies perspective?
I mean, we're mindful of the fact that, you know,
it's a wild animal.
Can, you know, if it's acting unusual, we're wary.
That is unusual.
Precautions. But it wasn't acting, other than being very friendly and affectionate a little bit. There was nothing else unusual. And so it nibbled some vegetables with us and rode on my shoulders and eventually like crawled into my hood and took a nap and slept in my hood for like an hour and a half.
Do you have photos? No photos didn't happen.
have plenty of photos. We tried to leave it outside once and it climbed on our screen door and was like, let me in. And it was a bit of a strange experience. Eventually we took it to a wildlife rehabilitation center, in a nearby town and, it found a new home. But, yeah, it was fun to kind of like for a minute consider like, wow, could we have a pet squirrel? It's so friendly.
Yeah. Interesting. Yeah. It is interesting.
It was wild. Did you name it? Never seen anything like that. Huh?
Did Abigail try to name it?
She did. But naming is like, it's a process that you can't rush. This has been evident with our chickens. Like she has to think about it for a while. And our relationship with the squirrel was quite brief.
Yeah. Interesting. Wow. That's exciting. Yeah. That is exciting.
It is.
Interesting.
Anyway, what's up with Dustin?
Dustin, what's up with you? Yeah.
Oh, all kinds of things are happening around here as well since it's been 38 episodes since I've been here.
You looked it up.
I didn't look. That was my guess. Okay. But I recently got a new laptop for work, so I'm like manually transferring all the contents over from one to another. I don't like using the automated tools to do that because any junk that's on my old computer is now on my new computer, and I like to get a fresh start. So I got the new 16-inch MacBook. I'm working on getting that all set up. I got a vacation next week. It's more like a staycation. We are taking our kids to my mom and dad's for the weekend and heading out and then coming back and then just doing a bunch of stuff around here. I've got home projects galore. We've got some websites to build for my wife. And all amidst of all this, we are refinancing our house and wrapping up our taxes. So, I mean, it's just buckets of fun around here.
Holy moly.
Wow.
We had just financed last year about this time to get an incredible 3.5% interest rate on a 15-year loan. And we're just so excited that it's 3.5. Like, it's never going to get any cheaper than that. And then all of a sudden, now we can refinance for 2.3. And so
Holy crap.
So we're going down, you know, another point and plus. And so it's like, okay, this makes sense. And that's going to save us $38,000. Like, not every day you can save $38,000. So we're on that train.
That's amazing. Dang, that's crazy.
That is incredible. Wow.
Yeah. Very cool. Now, I was actually talking to Ellen about the whole refinancing, and you can't refinance rent.
That's a bummer.
That's not how it works.
No, apparently not. Apparently not. So, I want to buy something, but we are not going to. Ellen's not on board yet about buying anything. So, yeah. So, anyway. Well, but as far as vacations go, I have one coming up also. You know, Monday, we recorded this a couple days early. It's here in the States. So 2 days after the show comes out, that's not right.
Two days before
the show comes out is a holiday here in the States. And then 2 days after the show comes out, I'm on vacation for 3.5 days. I'm so excited. I'm going to the lake with the guys again.
All right.
Yeah, that's going to be cool. Also, buckets of rain here for the past 5 days. Now finally some sunlight today. Yeah, that's it. Really, in my world, nothing else different there.
Oh, yeah. You lucky guys taking some time off. Yeah. That's super cool. Yeah, your family stuff and your friendship bonding stuff.
Yeah,
and get away from the screen and the work.
Yeah, I won't be taking the laptop. I'll go. We do wake surfing, so you surf in the wake up behind a boat. It's kind of cool. So, it'll be fun.
Guaranteed, Adam gets hurt.
No, don't do that.
100%, 100%.
Not at all.
Putting money on that.
I'm gonna get hurt maybe I'll shave the beard. And the hair. What do you think? Come back clean?
I don't see it.
Okay. Yeah. Nice. All right. Well, on that note.
This is the point at which we do talk about everything that's new.
All right. Kyle, this is you.
Is it?
You added it.
We didn't actually talk about this.
I know.
Should we like consult real quick? Okay. You come on. Okay. Adam, are you okay with this?
Yeah, I'm okay with this. You wanna talk about it though.
Okay, let's do it. All right. Okay, so we alluded to this in the last episode of our program where we wanted to do kind of a drive for more questions, to pad the queue, if you will, to really like shake our listeners down for a bunch more questions, essentially. And the idea that we came up with, which maybe is crazy, might be dumb. We might be shooting ourselves in the foot here, but we wanted to try incentivizing sending questions to us. So you, dear listener, maybe you plug our show into your ear holes now and then, and you think to yourself, oh, yeah, one of these days I'm going to send a question into Adam and Kyle. But then, you know, you're busy while you're listening to it, and you never get around to it. And that's totally cool. And some of you do. Actually, we have loyal listeners who support us with questions over the years, and we're very, very, very grateful for that. But we're trying this out. Let's see if we can give you a more compelling reason to make time in your day to shoot us a bunch of questions.
Mm-hmm.
So we've made a few tiers of incentives. So if you go and do the things that you do to send questions to us, if you have our contact information. We're really not picky about the channels, but you can go to getoptionspodcast.com and send us, or questions at getoptionspodcast.com is the email. If you send us 5 questions, which are legitimate questions that we can actually use on the show, then we will, on a future episode of this program, do a quick personal thank you to you and briefly pitch whatever it is you would like us to pitch. It could be a cause that you support. It could be your small business. It could be an event that you're participating in or something of that kind. If you send us 10 questions, here's what we're going to do. We're going to put together an actual commercial of sorts, which we have done for our real sponsors of the show in the past. This could be like a professionally produced commercial that Adam is really good at putting together. It could be a jingle that I write. You know, we're going to push the limits of our creativity for you if you write us 10 questions. If you break the 20 questions mark, here's what we're going to do. We're going to spend our own money and we're going to send you an exclusive Get Options t-shirt.
What? Wait, our own money?
Yeah. Yeah. Sorry, we might have to actually get some more sponsors for the show.
Right. Paid sponsors.
Anyway. Oh, yeah. We've got to set a time frame for this because this is a limited time offer.
Right. So, I mean, is it like a 6-month, like between now and the end of the year kind of thing? I think so.
What? Or the end of the year? No, it's got to be shorter term than that. Okay. It's got to be like
2 months?
2 weeks.
Oh, wow. 2 weeks.
2 weeks.
Okay. I'm going to think, how about 3 weeks? Since there's... Dustin, what do you think? 2 to 3 weeks. What do you think? You get to tie break.
2.5.
So we're talking like June 1st. No. End of the second week of June. End of the...
I say
June...
June 15th.
June 15th.
Okay, June 15th is the cutoff date. If you can cross that, any of those thresholds before that date...
Postmarked by that date.
Right. Yeah, they do have to be postmarked by that. Right. Correct. All right. Well, that's your mission. Should you choose to accept it, go out there and get some prizes.
Right on. Yeah. And that does not count for you at all, Dustin. You're out.
What? Dustin's eligible.
Okay, Dustin's
good.
Eligible. All right. You're fine. Yeah, it's fine. All right.
What you're wearing, what you're reading, what you're drinking now. What you're wearing, what you're reading, what you're drinking now.
All right, Dustin, you're the guest. You go first.
All right. I've got my regular uniform on today, my standard dark gray WordPress t-shirt. I wear one of these almost every day. It's only so that Adam can't tell how many times I've taken a shower. In a same thing. He'll never know. I am sipping on some Spindrift sparkling water. I don't know if you guys have ever had this. It's
what is that?
It is not a Costco thing, but we get it in a Costco at a very nice price. It has all 9 calories in the entire thing, and it is carbonated water, raspberry puree, raspberry juice, and lime juice.
Delicious.
So, there's no sugar and there's no nothing, and they've got a few different flavors. And my mom found a whole ton of them for like $5 for the case. And so we have cases of this stuff. So it's a good summer, or I guess spring-ish treat. It's kind of nice here in Ohio today. But we had been getting rain as well, but we're finally seeing some sunshine today. So like I could go for a little treat. And so that's a Spindrift today. And let's see what else. Oh, we are reading, and I say we, my wife and I are both reading the StoryBrand book by Donald Miller.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Talks about how your website should really tell a story. Like the whole thing is you're not trying to say like how awesome you are as a company or whatnot. You're trying to tell that your customer, like how we can benefit you, and basically breaks down like, you know, how all movies are written and, you know, with a, you know, different plots and whatnot, but it basically goes through the same thing like that. So we're just trying to do that so that I can kind of build a website that can follow what we're thinking about, like her actual customers that she's looking.
It's a good book. It's a good book. I mean, I read it, and I remember within the first 30 pages, I went and added a new tagline to make Concierge WP more clear of what I do. Versus, it looked like I was a vacation, you know, booking website in a sense. I mean, that picture of the beach and stuff. So I added a couple, like 2 lines of text, and it's a big difference. Yeah, it's a good book. Mm-hmm.
I almost thought you said you were going to, you went straight to Hover and bought a new domain because.
No. chuckle, chuckle, chuckle. No, I have not bought a domain this week. Have I? No, I have not. Right on. All right. Kyle, what do you got? What are you wearing? What are you doing? What are you reading? What are you drinking?
I'm wearing a Nexus Hosting t-shirt. I'm drinking a White Claw hard seltzer.
Wow.
Mango flavored.
Wow.
Quite tasty. We recently tried these out. They're getting popular. And I'm reading a book called Meaningful Work by Sean Askenozy.
Nice. Very cool. I want to read that next if I can borrow it. That'd be great.
I'll think about it.
Thanks.
Hand it through Skype.
Right on. Yeah. Right through Skype. That's awesome. I'm out of respect to Dustin. I'm wearing WooCommerce today. You know.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Vintage WooCommerce.
Vintage WooCommerce. It's like the Woo Ninja. You know, the old logo, right? I'm drinking water again, out of respect to Dustin, who gets me on me all the time. This is probably my second version of the bottle of this today. So this is, you know, it's huge. I've been doing a lot better with water.
Two bottles in one day? That's insane.
It's 48 ounces for me right there, yeah.
You fish?
And I'm reading Writing Down the Bones. So it's a book about writing and tapping back into creativity. So, yeah, it's good. It's good. So,
good.
Yeah. Hey, Kyle and Dustin, guess what time it is?
Oh, man. I think it's time to start a band, you guys. Like, it's past time. I was thinking about band names for us. Like, boy band names.
Oh, what do you got?
What do you guys think about CAD, like K-A-D.
What's it stand for?
Well, I don't know. We'll have to think of that later.
I'm Dustin.
I know.
What about Eastern Time Zone Boys with a Z?
Ooh.
Okay. What about One Directory? Maybe our K-pop version could be Burn the Page.
Hmm.
Or maybe Newer Kids on the Block Editor. I don't know. That's, we could workshop this together.
That's the best one to date right there. I like that. Might be my favorite. But it's also time for, that's right, it's questions time. You sent them in, we read them, we researched them, and now it's time to give you some options. That's right, we got 2 seconds left, maybe 3 seconds. All right, who wants to ask that first one?
Ooh, can I?
Please.
Right. I don't know if I've ever gotten to ask a question before, but let's go. Question number one comes in from Kimberly, and it says, most of my profession and personal friends are software developers who fall into the age range of 25 to 35. Best age range ever.
It's the GOAT age range.
It's odd to say the least. Where are the older people? Let's say 50 and older.
Okay. All right. I'll take this one first. Just, you know, I'll take this. Easy answer. Florida, Las Vegas, and Poland.
What?
Yeah. Studies have shown. No, actually, I have some research on this, but yeah, that easy. It's not really an optional thing. It's not giving her options unless she wants to go find them. But Florida, for sure.
We're answering the question.
Yeah. Okay. So, but Florida, Las Vegas, and Poland. That's option one. Is where they are.
Okay.
And a few of them in North Carolina. I'm not quite 50 yet, so I don't know. You know.
Yeah. You would know better, I think. Frankly, I don't know where they are. I just assume that they are working in some other industry where the real money is made. And none of this. Everything is free and open source and reliant on volunteers and benevolent dictators for life and honor systems.
Wow. Wow.
I just assume. I don't know.
Shots fired. You're talking about someone's boss here. Just careful.
We're in a weird industry.
We are. Yeah.
This is true. My first thought is, if we are looking for them, they're probably all at home. So this current epidemic where this, you know, they're in, I don't know, they're probably at home though.
I should hope.
That's why we can't find them.
Would they be at home if we weren't in the pandemic? Or would they be like, you know, in line at the DMV renewing their license for the 12th time?
I don't know.
Well, another thing to keep in mind here, I did a little research on just age and technology as far as people, demographics. Two-thirds of adults 65 and over now use the internet. The percentage of people over 65 plus use at least one social media site, which has been up 7% since 2010. So we're at 37% in 2018 now. Older adults are the fastest growing group of Facebook users, which is kind of sad in one aspect, clearly.
Yeah.
You know, and also with technology, and I'm not saying these are developers, you know, in the industry, but just as far as technology in that bracket, if you will, 50 to 65 kind of thing. My parents are of that demographic. I think all of your parents might be in the same demographic. So, but people do use it. But I found a website I thought was interesting. The name of the website was funny to me, as well as the data that's there. It's called oats.org, OATS. It stands for Older Adults Technology Services.
Wow.
Yeah, it's interesting. But they have quite the story. information there about technology and how older people adopt it and use it and why they use it, how it's a focused interest to do something. There's no, I think you hit a certain point in life, if you're coming to technology later in life, you use it very deliberately. There's intention. There's no just surfing the web necessarily. But older people, I hate to say older, I think senior citizens in that range or that demographic are also very much more apt to read, believe, and share what we now know as fake news, sadly. They're easily fooled by what looks real that isn't real because they just don't know. They don't know how to vet the data that they see. So there's an education opportunity there. New domain. No, I'm kidding.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Dang.
So, yeah.
We're learning a lot today, I guess.
There's also, I'll put this in the show notes, there's also statistics about technology use and attitudes amongst midlife and older Americans. It's from the AARP from 2017. Pretty interesting PDF. I'll link to that in the show notes if people want to read that as well, in case they're interested.
Okay.
Yeah.
What do you know?
Yeah. It's an interesting question. I mean, we make fun of it in one aspect, but it's kind of true. I know oftentimes, I've told you guys this, both we've all been at camps together, work camps, and oftentimes I am one of the older people, and I'm not even that old in my mind. It's like, you know, I could be, I mean, as far as organizers, you know, or speakers, you know, in that range, as attendees, we get the range. You get people from, you know, all the way up to the 70s and 80s. That's not a problem for attendees. But still, the majority of the people in our space specifically, I would say are what? Median age, what, mid-30s, 32? I would imagine. Yeah. I think so. I think, you know, at that range. I mean, that would be the high point of the number wise. Everything else is probably, you know, on the outside of the bell curve. So it's interesting. I mean, you know.
I think it's interesting when you look at that range and that 25 to 35. I'm just outside of that range. I had to think about it, but I'm 36. But what I think is super interesting is, like, right as all of these tools and these new fun online things were created, like, that's when I was just, that's when I had just got my first computer. Like,
okay, boomer.
Hey, yeah.
So like, thinking back to college, like, when I was in college, I got my very first computer just so I could have, I don't know if we really needed email early on, but, you know, you needed a computer for your Word documents and your whatnot. But then that's when Facebook came out. And, you know, like, then it was like, oh, we have Instant Messenger to connect with people, because then we started getting lazy. Like, let's not walk down the hallway to see who, you know, if so-and-so's there. Let's check their Instant Messenger or send them a message or whatever. And I just think it was a really interesting time. And the more and more technology and the tools that came out, the more interested that I got in that technology. You know, it's like, oh, well, somebody showed me, like, oh, this is how with Dreamweaver you can build a website, and here's, like, a server. And then, like, all of a sudden it's like, oh, okay, let's see what other kind of technologies out there. And not, I'm just specifically going down the WordPress path. Like, WordPress, you know, was 5 or 6 years old by the time I had discovered it.
Right.
And, you know, then it was just like, oh, this is something new and interesting. And then it just kind of took wind from there. So I don't know if that's, like, the main reason that younger people are involved, but it was, like, a kind of a way for me to get started. And, you know, like, I didn't have a full-time job, so I could tinker and I could do things without, you know, to mess up a career that I've had for 20 years or whatever.
Yeah, I think based on age, younger people are apt to be early adopters to new things. You know, it's, you know,
true.
There's, yeah, that, right? True. So it's like, I mean, it's true. I even to this day, I don't want to change some of the ways I do certain things because it just works for me. I could easily change a few things, you know, here and there. But then again, I also do change because I'm interested in the newer things and want to keep up to some extent. I looked it up. Yeah, Dustin, you're a millennial Gen Y, technically, right?
Yeah, I think I'm at the end of the millennials.
1980 to 1994.
Okay.
Yeah, so. Right. Yeah,
and the best generation.
Kyle, are you the same?
Everyone,
Kyle?
Agrees.
Kyle, you're the same, right?
Yeah,
you're the same. So yeah, I mean, I'm Gen X. So, but yeah, and I grew up with this. I mean, I've been using a computer since 82. You know, I got my first in 83. I saw Mosaic come out. I saw all that stuff the first time, you know, when it came out and came through. I found an old note in an old, like, journal I kept saying learn CSS when it first came out. I really wish I would have paid more attention to that note. Really,
imagine
do.
Where you would be.
I would have. I would be CSS Tricks Man. Yeah. I'd be Chris Collier.
Yeah, you could be.
Yeah. So.
Possible. Yeah, you guys are, like, right on with your observations. They align a little bit with the couple of layers that I think that there are to this question. So, Kimberly's observation, I think, is on point, but I think that there are two explanations to it that are distinct, but can explain why there's this feeling like the older age group is underrepresented. And the first is, I think, just point blank, it is underrepresented. Mm-hmm. That's the first part of this. So I'll get to the second in a minute. But the first is, yes, I think in our, and Kimberly didn't say like WordPress or in our industry, but we're just like, she sent it to this show. I'm assuming that we're talking about like our little sphere. And a lot of this industry that we find ourselves in is newer and younger and unproven, at least relative to a lot of other places in tech. And people later in their careers often have already invested, you know, in certain technologies and methodologies and skills, and maybe for good reason are reluctant to like switch, to go through that process of abandoning something that they know and are in and have a career developed in and a network and community and everything, and abandon it for this newer thing, which is less proven and established. And so the switching from a thing that you have to a new thing is harder than what younger people go through, which is just choosing the new thing to start with. So that's a very natural phenomenon. Since we're in a younger industry, it is more likely to be adopted by the younger generation, who's just like choosing the new thing. And also, like, WordPress is not, this industry that we're in is like not fully matured yet, enough to start attracting people who are established in other tech sectors. So say you're a 50-year-old software engineer in some other sector with where there are giants like Oracle and IBM and Microsoft, and those kind of companies dominate. Even if you wanted to, switching to the world of WordPress likely won't make sense.
Right, financially at all.
Yeah, the wages just in WordPress are not up there yet. You would have very hard time getting the same pay. And I've had personal acquaintances like who have come to WordCamps and been so attracted to this and been like, you know, I'm in like the corporate world, whatever, and I want to get into this. I love it. I love the people. And they've had the hardest time.
So let me ask you real quick.
The pay.
How does that change? I'm curious. I mean, I know this is a slight tangent, but how does that change? Or when does that change? You know, what's the process? Is it, I mean, I'm coming up close to this question, right? I mean, obviously I'll be 50 this year. So the question then is, you guys know almost a 50-year-old.
Holy moly.
Right. But so respect right off the bat, whippersnappers. So, but the question then is, if somebody's coming from Salesforce or some other company, like, or, you know, an Oracle or whatever it may be, and they want to be part of this community or part of this movement of open source, but they're used to making $150,000 a year because they've done 10 years over there and they've climbed that ladder per se, you know, I mean, the jobs don't exist yet at that level for pay.
At least a very small number.
Right.
Small number. Like, there are only a handful of like big companies. There's like Automatic and like hosting companies that are like big enough to be supporting like people like that.
So it's going to be, they're going to be C-suite level jobs and maybe high end developer, dev jobs, right? Not going to be support. I mean, obviously not going to be support necessarily, you know, not going to be entry level stuff, but I think it's a matter of time. You're right. I mean, WordPress itself is only 17 years old this year, almost 18. Mm-hmm. Right. Or is it, 17, 18 years old this year. But yeah, I think it's a tough sell. I do know that some people have left other jobs and taken pay cuts to come work in the space.
Yeah,
because there's something to be said about that balance, about not having to, you know, having that remote lifestyle, having that ability to, you know, do other things and, you know, do some, you know, passion projects within the space itself. So, again, it depends on, are people after for the money? Are they after, you know, for that title? Are they after for the, you know, it's a balance based on per person, right?
I think, too, it kind of depends on, and this doesn't have to answer for WordPress itself, but, like, it really depends on, like, the area that you live in. Like, I live real close to the Air Force Base, and I have a lot of friends who are computer programmers at the Air Force Base. Like, it's a completely different thing, but, you know, we can still kind of talk on the same level. Like, my next-door neighbor, like, he's an electrical engineer, just like I am, and he does, you know, he writes computer programs for the Air Force. And so it's just kind of an interesting thing. Like, you know, if you live in the Washington area, I'm sure you will run into, or in Southern California, or in like Silicon Valley, you're like, you're going to run into programmers. But, you know, living in the middle of, you know, wherever, Jackson, Michigan, you might not see a lot of, you know, you just might not have a bunch of connections that are developers or have friends that are developers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
It's interesting. Yeah. It's an interesting question and an observation, to say the least, you know.
Right.
And then I'm sure we could always dissect it and say, okay, out of the 50 plus age group, how many of those are women versus men? And obviously we're going to know that women are way up, underrepresented, and then people of color. I mean, it gets smaller and smaller slice. It's unfortunate. Mm-hmm. You know, the three of us are aware of these things. And, you know, if we're in a position down the line to help or hire or recommend, that's, you know, that's of course what we all agree that we should do. And, you know, it's a whole separate conversation, but you know what I'm getting at, you know?
Yeah. So you're totally right. The second part of, and thank you guys for your observations. The second part of what I have thought about this, relative to this question is, and I spoke about this in a talk that I did, once upon a time, where I noticed how much my own personal network resembles me. And I think it is partially the reasons we just discussed, where a lot of the industry that we're playing in happens to attract people like us. But I also think that my personal network has grown based on the activities I participate in, the events that I attend, and the things that I do when I go to them, and the people that I talk to when I'm there. And so it isn't too surprising that I end up developing a network, circle of friends and contacts who have a lot in common with me, like my age. And, you know, some things that could be said about potentially people who are more chronologically advanced are that older people have more reasons to stay home and not attend the conference. Maybe you can think about this, Dustin. Before you had children, did you attend more events than you do now? Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that was definitely the case for me too. Like, I could do, at the drop of a hat, I could go to a conference. It was no big deal. Like, I could go to every single one within reasonable travel distance just because I wanted to. I didn't need to tell anybody. It was like not a thing. Now, for me to go and travel away from home and to attend one, that's a really big deal. It better be stinking important for me to go do that. And that only, that the ties that you have to your home only increase, generally speaking, with age. Like, the more work responsibilities they have, the more children, the more owning a home, and all those other things.
It is, you know, on weekends, like, you're not going to see as many, you know, people that have teenage kids, you know, that's got soccer tournaments or baseball or whatever. Like,
exactly. Exactly.
Yeah.
When all of our word camps are on the weekend, like, how many family-oriented people are like, sure, no problem, that's fine, I have no commitments, you know? So it's a little different for us. And, you know, there are sometimes also like little more subtle factors, just like health and energy and enthusiasm for like going to the after party and then the after party and staying up late and drinking with people. Like, that just appeals to a certain demographic. You know what I'm saying?
Totally. Totally.
Yeah. So over time, like, you just naturally will be exposed to the people who are interested in that kind of thing. That's not, that group isn't necessarily representative of the whole pie, like the whole pool or the whole pond, whatever it is, this of all the people.
Right.
All the people aren't equally represented at events or on Twitter or wherever it is you're socializing.
Right. Yeah. Well, cool question. I hope we answered where they, I think we gave her some information at least to go, you know, look up and look into and maybe head over to Poland. So, all right. Question two, Kyle, you want to ask it?
I'd love to. This question comes to us from Russell, and he asks, I work at a medium-sized agency and mostly love my job. The issue is one coworker who often postpones things. Two issues in this case. One, they are pretty high up in the chain. Two, they are the bottleneck. What are some options to help move things along and keep my job? Thanks, Russell, for the question.
Okay. Can I get back to you on this?
Don't be a bottleneck here, man.
I'll have an option. I'll have an option for you in a few minutes.
Oh, come on. Let's move it along.
Well, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back after this commercial. That'd be awesome if I actually had a commercial right now for this or a song. That would have been great. Dang it. I know.
Oh, we're always so short of great.
So short. Yeah. Anyway. Yeah. What do you got, Dustin? Anything?
How about the old, how do I want to say it? The old spin move and just go right around them. Like, let's get my basketball reference in there and just, okay, you're being a hold up. We're just going to go right around you. And completely, you know, it doesn't really say what they're doing or is it a decision that's trying to be made? Is it, you know, I need input, you know, like, can I add this feature? You know, you don't know. So just go around them.
Yeah.
Yeah. The fake, the crossover, the spin move.
Yeah.
The drive.
Nothing but net. Yeah. Instead of getting stuffed at the rim, right? So, I mean, so I have another option, you know, and because we don't have a lot of depth in the question, we don't know, there's some missing information, but I would say maybe do this as an option. Email the entire company using an old Hotmail account that you create. And use a pseudonym, perhaps, you know, the boss's name in disguise, and then indicate that things move slow. Oh, better thing, actually, that just came to me, maybe pretend to be a potential customer, but say you want a speedy turnaround, we'll be willing to pay extra for it, but you've heard that there's a layer of upper management that has issues.
I just heard.
Yeah, I heard. You know, it has to come from Hotmail, because that's where the boomers are. Full circle, people.
That's where they are. We found them.
No,
I tend to agree with you in some sense that the only real way to accomplish what your end is to sabotage them. it just seems like the only logical answer, but sabotage could be all kinds of things. Perhaps just like accuse them of using software which was not licensed under the GPL. That would bring anybody down, right? You will be expelled.
Mm-hmm. Nice. Well, I think, you know, if we dive into the question just on a serious note, if they are management and it's like if it's their boss, you know, how do you approach that situation? I mean, it depends on the size of the company. You can go to HR. I mean, let me ask you this, Kyle. You are director of ops. What if somebody came to you that was a lower, like a mid-level, mid-tier employee per se at Sandhills and was a developer, but felt that their manager and code review was just taking too long, you know, and they put it off, right? That's the problem.
Sure.
So, but they came to you as a colleague, friend. I mean, do you guys have an HR department technically? I mean, I guess that's the question. A.
That would be me.
Okay. So if they come to you because you're HR and operations, right? What do you do? You'd have to hear them, you know, you have to hear what they're saying, let them have their voice. But then I guess it's your role in theory to then go talk to that person, right? And communicate the situation.
Right.
And not have that other person's job cut.
Yes. Well, I need them to fill out a complaint form and put it into the suggestion box. And I'll get to it when I get to it.
Oh, okay. What if it's you in HR that's the holdup for getting reviews done? That's awkward.
Definitely this is relevant to my job. I'm always looking at these sort of things. Like I'm always asking the question, like, where are the inefficiencies in our company? Like, where are things not moving as they should? Where are the squeaky wheels? Because I want to work on those. I want to fix them.
Yeah.
And our team is really good. It's not it's so much the wrong people, but sometimes it's like maybe people using different processes, disparate processes and practices throughout the organization. And I'm discovering like people don't know what other teams and departments are doing, and they're just developing their own system. And I'm looking around and stepping back and saying, well, you guys are doing it this way and you guys are doing it that way. And you're running into problems because you're like not connecting. You're not in sync with each other. And so I'm just encountering some issues like that and trying to solve them. But now and then I will encounter an issue where like some specific person is like struggling with capacity issues and it's affecting the work of other people, or maybe their process is not very sophisticated and it's time for them to like learn from other managers and adopt apprentices that work or develop skills that they don't have, or maybe hand off some work so that their capacity increases. But I'm always looking at that sort of thing. And right. my team happens to be quite cooperative, but I'm in a position where I can talk to all those people like at their level. And so it's different for me because the dynamic is, fair
right.
and safe. I'm not a subordinate.
Right.
With a concern about a peer, someone higher up in the chain, slowing the process down.
Right. Except for Pippin. No.
It could be. And then you know, I do have to go. Like if I do have a complaint, like or that issue, I think Pippin has some way to improve. Like he's the top of the food chain. Like someone has to
right.
express that and right. say, I think you could do better in this or that area.
Yeah.
And it's
hard to do. Yeah. I mean, yeah. you know, and you guys are at a much smaller scale, like compared to like the automatic with Dustin, but I mean, you have a whole division, you have a whole department, you have teams that are broken up into, you know, you have team leaders, right? So.
Right. Dustin, are you giving Matt much feedback? How often are you going and telling him like how he could do better?
Yeah. Never.
Because he couldn't do better.
Top notch, top dog. There's so many layers in between. It just,
how many degrees of separation are you and him, you from taking over automatic?
Oh, yeah, pretty close.
Yeah.
1.5.
By June 15th, you'll have it.
Yeah.
Guys. Yeah. No. I mean, each company is, you know, different in that situation. The bigger the company, I think that sometimes the harder it can be on one aspect. But if it's a small company and there's no HR, or if HR is part of the family, like that's what my old job, you guys remember this, when I worked at that auction house, you know, I had a complaint about toxic work environment. HR was the daughter of our VP of finance, who was a partner of the company.
Awkward.
Right? You know,
yeah.
My direct coworker, in the space was my boss's brother. It's just, yeah, I mean, who am I going to complain to? How could I get right. a fair shake? So, you know, 3.5 years later, before I left, I had to leave, you know, that kind of thing. So, yeah, just every job in Dynamics has its own little intricacies you have to deal with. I don't miss it. Yeah. I don't miss that aspect of it.
No.
Yeah, I think as a real answer, it should be more, you know, it's a vague question, but it should be there should be some documentation, you know, like, oh, you know, my deadline was this date and I asked a week ahead of time to get this information so I could finish by my deadline. And
yes.
I had to follow up 3 times and I finally got the information one day before. And that's why I didn't hit my deadline. Like, as long as you're documenting those types of things, I think that makes a lot of sense. I don't have a lot of experience in the department that I am. You know, there's 300 and some happiness engineers and we all do the same thing. Like, we answer people's questions and we're not usually waiting on somebody. You know, sometimes we're waiting for a developer to come back, but then we leave a bunch of notes and then we leave it for the next person. Like, we're not just going to sit and wait on a ticket for an answer because a developer is busy actually, you know, fixing bugs or working on code or whatnot.
Right.
So I don't have a lot of experience, but I think the conversation between you guys was great.
Awesome.
I would just add that we don't have a ton, as you mentioned, we don't have a ton of context for this question, but I do like giving people the benefit of the doubt. And assuming positive intent, API. Matt himself says this regularly. That's something he's mentioned on a number of occasions. Before doing anything drastic, make absolutely sure that the person in question doesn't have perfectly legitimate reasons for delaying progress. It is possible. I've encountered this on numerous occasions where someone at maybe lower on the hierarchy just lacks the full scope and understanding to grasp like why things are being done the way they are, or why they're moving at the slow pace. When you only have your own perspective, it is possible. So give someone the benefit of the doubt that they might know things. Like, do they know more about the company finances than you do? Do they know more about project dependencies than you do? Are they privy to client and team conversations, which you are not? Is it possible? And maybe their real sin is just not keeping their subordinate, aka you, well informed. That's a very common issue. So just, I don't know, keep that in mind and give them the benefit of the doubt.
All right. Now, it's true. It's a good point. It really is. And I'm going to add one last thing. Unless you happen to have somebody working for you who ghosts you and makes a promise and doesn't deliver, you guys know who I'm talking about.
Oh.
In this case, HR is me, and I'm the owner, and that person doesn't work for me anymore. Okay. Yeah. So, nonetheless, hey, so we have a segment. It's called Word Stress. That's all I got. Kyle, you want to explain it for the audience, for those who don't know, and Dustin, who forgot what it was?
Okay. I didn't forget.
Well, I picked this one because I don't think we've played it with Dustin before.
I don't think so.
It's one of our newer, sillier, more pointless games. It's a word association game. So we basically try and keep the game going as long as we can. And you lose if you're the one who drops the ball, essentially fails to speak something which passes the criteria.
Right. So are we going to go from
5 seconds that you have?
Okay. So are we going to go from, like, let's say we'll go, we're all the same height. That doesn't work. Age, age, like oldest to youngest in that order to start with, I guess. Like, I'll do a word and then, so who's next between you two? I think Dustin's next up, right?
Right.
Okay.
And the only things that you can say are the name of a person, the name of a company, or product would work as well, the name of a place, or the name of an occupation. Okay. I think it's those four things.
Okay. Person, which company, you're allowed to product, say,
which are in association five. With the thing you just heard.
Okay.
Okay. And we just keep it going in a loop until somebody drops the ball.
I'm pretty sure Dustin's going to be out like this first round.
Someone can say Pippin, and then Sandhills, then Kyle, then
Michigan.
Right.
Drop the ball.
Okay.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
All right. So
exactly. You get the idea.
Right. Okay. So I'm going to say the first word. This is for you, Dustin. Okay.
I know what this word is.
Washington, D.C.
Pentagon.
The Department of FBI.
Okay, so we'll take that one as a. And I think we also want to keep it within the WordPress space. So
preferably.
So like Joe Howard would have been, you know, a valid answer there. He's in Washington D.C. or Tara Clays is in outside the area, right? So that kind of thing. Got it?
That was not part of the rules.
Okay, it is now.
Okay, the game starts now.
You sound like Kenley. That sounds like a Kenley sentence. All right. I'll start again. I'll start a new one. Okay.
Okay.
This is going to go back to Dustin. See if he's paying attention. Sneaky selfie.
Word camp.
Matt Mullenweg.
Automatic.
Jetpack.
Sam Hotchkiss.
Dropping the ball. I'm out. That was good. That was good. That was nice. Okay. I'll do one more.
Okay, that's fine.
Okay.
Whatever.
Unless you want to put one in the and I can actually you want to start one, Kyle. Go the other way.
Okay.
Yeah, we'll go up.
I'll start one.
And go to Dustin. Dustin's still in the middle.
Dustin's gonna be second, and then Adam. Yeah. And me. And then Dustin. And then Adam.
Okay, go ahead.
And then me. Okay.
Last one.
Let's go with frontity.
Say what?
I said frontity.
Oh, it's right.
New York.
Automatic. Didn't Automatic invest in it?
Yeah.
Yeah. You guys just invested in it recently.
A couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
Aren't they in New York?
Oh.
Are they? I thought they were.
You're making that up. You're making that up.
No, I don't think so.
Nice try.
Okay. Are they?
I don't know.
Yeah. Okay. So.
Yeah. Whatever.
Yeah. You want to do one more?
You start one, Dustin.
Dustin to Kyle to me.
Okay.
He's thinking.
WooCommerce.
South Africa.
WPMU? Or are they in Australia? I don't know where they are. I thought they
were in Australia.
So close enough.
No.
Okay, wait. So you said South Africa? Yeah. What's his name? Is it Hugh Lashbrook?
Oh, nice. Yeah.
Whew.
How about WordPress community team?
Nice.
Oh, okay. It can be chaos.
Andrew Middleton.
Pacific Northwest.
It's a place. I saw that.
Pacific Northwest. Okay, then I'll go with Tanner Mouché.
Wow. I know the name. I don't know if I know who that is, though. Yeah, and I'm out. I dropped it. All right. That was interestingly, oddly fun. Who is Tanner Mouché? Why do I know that name?
He's a WordPress guy.
Okay. Oh, really? Go figure. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm.
All right. Well, that was fun, and we're at time-ish. We've run this nice and perfectly distanced of length and duration. So thanks for listening. Be sure to email us any questions you have, especially if you want those prizes, those shirts, that spot, those commercial spots, the jingles, over at questions@getoptionspodcast.com. Use the SpeakPipe function feature of the website. You can find us online, Twitter primarily, @get_options. Kyle's at Mr. Kyle Maurer. I'm at Adam Silver. We're on SoundCloud. Dustin, where are you?
At Dustin Hartzler or at yourwebsiteengineer.com.
Oh, that's right. Awesome. And you have till June 15th, people, to, you know, send in those questions. Say goodbye, Kyle.
Goodbye, Kyle. Do it.
Okay, say goodbye, Dustin.
Goodbye, Dustin.
Oh, my gosh.
Nice. I'll put that in after the fact. I'll go up and down.
I had no idea what that button was going to do.
That's awesome.